And for the scripture today, which I'm about to read, we jump around so much in it that I'm just going to read it to you. And if you would listen, as I do, I think that would be okay. It's the story of David and Goliath, a well-known story. Well, before I read this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, so much for you being with us at this time. Not just at this time as we're gathered together, but every time in our lives. We thank you in all the little ways and the big ways that you make your presence known. We ask you, Lord, today to please open up our hearts and our eyes to see and hear what it is that you have for us, that we may be molded and shaped, even if it's just a little bit, as we hear the reading of your word, as we experience your son, Jesus, who is the word made flesh. In his name we pray. Amen. The Philistines assembled their troops for war at Succoth of Judah. A champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was more than 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore bronze scale armor weighing 125 pounds. He had bronze plates on his shins and a bronze scimitar hung on his back. His spear shaft was as strong as the bar of a weaver's loom, and its iron head weighed 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked in front of him. He stopped and shouted to the Israelite troops, "Why have you come and taken up battle formations? I am the Philistine champion. You are Saul's servants. Isn't that right? Select one of your men and let them come down against me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your slaves. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you will become our slaves and you will serve us. I insult Israel's troops today." The Philistine continued, "Give me an opponent and we'll fight." When Saul and all Israel heard what the Philistine said, they were distressed and terrified. They are with Saul and all the Israelite troops fighting the Philistines in Elah Valley. So David got up early in the morning, left someone in charge of the flock, and loaded up and left. Loaded up and left just as his father Jesse had instructed him. He reached the camp right when the army was taking up their battle formations and shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines took up their battle formations opposite each other. David left his things with an attendant and ran to the front line. When he arrived, he asked how his brothers were doing. Right when David was speaking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion of Gath, came forward from the Philistine ranks and said the same things he had said before. David listened. "Don't let anyone lose courage because of this Philistine," David told Saul. "I, your servant, will go out and fight him." "You can't go out and fight this Philistine," Saul answered David. "You're still a boy, but he's been a warrior since he was a boy." "Your servant has kept his father's sheep," David replied to Saul. "And if ever a lion or a bear came and carried off one of the flock, I would go after it, strike it, and rescue the animal from its mouth. If it turned on me, I would grab it at its jaw, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has brought forth lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them because he has insulted the army of the living God." "The Lord," David added, "who rescued me from the power of both lions and bears, will rescue me from the power of this Philistine." "Go," Saul replied to David, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own gear, putting a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David strapped a sword on over the armor, but he couldn't walk or run well because he'd never tried it before. "I can't walk in this," David told Saul, "because I've never tried it before." So he took them off. He then grabbed his staff and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream bed. He put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag and with sling in hand went out to meet the Philistine. The Philistine got closer and closer to David, and a shield bearer was in front of him. When the Philistine looked David over, he sneered at David because he was just a boy, reddish brown and good looking. The Philistine asked David, "Am I a sort of dog that you come out at me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said to David, "and I'll feed your flesh to the wild birds and the wild animals." But David told the Philistine, "You're coming against me with sword, spear, and scimitar. But I come against you with the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel's army, and the one you've insulted. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will feed your body, your dead body, and the dead bodies of the entire Philistine camp to the wild birds and the wild animals. Then the whole world will know that there is a God on Israel's side. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't save by means of sword and spear. The Lord owns this war, and he will hand all of you over to us. The Philistine got up and moved closer to attack David, and David ran quickly to the front line to face him. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. He slung it and hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My manly side of me, which sometimes I don't think is very large, the manly side of me loves this story. It's action-packed. It's enjoyable. It's like, I don't know. My brother had a joke. He would do impressions. He said, I have an impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he'd go, I'm so strong. And he said, I also have an impression of Sylvester Stallone. I'm so strong. And so I think oftentimes when I think about that story, I think about, you know, Sylvester Stallone is David because, you know, he's short. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is Goliath because he's so tall and then fighting. And it's an amazing action-packed scene. You can almost picture the lines in your mind, the valley in between these vast armies on either side, chanting at each other and taunting each other. And then this giant of a man, 9 feet tall, huge, able to wield a large spear with a 15-pound tip as if it were nothing, walking up to the middle and saying, fight me, one of you. And just the whole Israelite army becoming quiet. When they saw Goliath, they saw something too big to fight, too scary to go up against. They saw that if they would stand in front of Goliath, Goliath would surely cut them down. And so no one went. And one thing the scripture didn't say as we were reading it is how long this was taking place. This took place like a month. Every day Goliath would come out and taunt them. Every day they would form lines, and every day they would turn tail and go somewhere else, only to repeat it the next day. The cool thing about David, and it's in one of the commentaries that I read, is that when David saw Goliath, he didn't see a man who was too big to fight. He saw a man who was too big to miss. He knew that he presented to him a target. And, you know, the thing is when we look at our own lives in terms of the Israelite army and David, and whom do we most often represent, or at least whom do we most often live like, sometimes in our lives we face those huge problems that are just too big for us to handle. That we come and you know, we wake up in the morning and we go to the mirror and we say things like, you can do this. You got this. This will be nothing for you. And then we go to whatever it is, whether it be job interview or visiting the doctors or on that first date with that pretty guy or pretty girl that we like. And we fall to pieces. You know, we fall to pieces because all of a sudden all we see is that this situation is too big for us. And how can we do it? How can we handle it? Churches all across America are having this same kind of thing. We look out into the community and we see all these needs. We see all these things that need to be done, and we're lost. And if you don't think that's true, ask someone who is over the age of 60. And the answer that you will normally get, or the story that you will normally get for someone who's over the age of 60 is, back in my day, things were so much better, and I feel so bad for the youth who have to grow up today. I feel so bad for them because how in the world can they deal with the way life is? It just, the enormity of it seems so big that pity is what you get. But David looked at Goliath differently. differently than all the Israelite armies. You see, when all the Israelite armies looked at Goliath, all they saw was a physical threat that needed a physical reaction in order to overcome it. What David saw was a physical threat that needed a spiritual reaction in order to solve it. What he saw is this man coming out and not just defying the physical nation of Israel, but defying the spiritual power of God. And so when David saw that, he knew that the spiritual power of God would fight with him. And that this wasn't just a physical battle, this was a spiritual battle. That took not just physical means, but took a spiritual faith. The neat thing about this battle is that it did take a physical action in order to complete it. So much of the battles that we face in our lives and so much of the challenges that the church faces and how to reach the community and how to love those outside of the church aren't just physical issues. Spiritual issues. They're issues of other people not thinking that God cares or that God exists. Because there are people around them who either proclaim God and don't live it or don't proclaim God at all for fear of ridicule or failure. What we have is not a physical problem, but a spiritual issue in our midst, in the midst of the community. It takes both a spiritual and a physical answer. The spiritual answer is this: that God's with us. You don't have to answer out loud. Answer in your heart, but do you believe that God is with us? Do you believe that God is with you as an individual? If you don't, I challenge you to challenge God. Lord, show me and prove to me that you're with me. Open up my memories so that as I look back, I can see you. Or show me this day that you're here. Open up my heart and my mind and my eyes to see your presence. Don't say that lightly. It might just change your life. But if we believe that God is with us, that then takes a physical response. To live it, to show it, to set forth in the face of the giant and stand there and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will confront you. And by the hand of the Lord, I will do as the Lord desires me to do. It is my prayer that as a church and individuals in the church, we can go where God sends us, knowing that Christ goes with us and have a physical response that changes lives and meets the needs of those around us in the spiritual truth of Jesus. That will be a story to tell. That will be a joy to celebrate. And we thank God for the opportunities that we'll have in our midst to do just that. Another thing in the life of the church that has both physical and spiritual components is the sacrament of baptism that we just celebrated, and also that we will celebrate the sacrament of communion. The physical components are the bread and the juice. The bread and juice, they represent the body and blood of Jesus. Spiritual components is that as representatives of the body and blood of Jesus, Christ uses those to fill our lives with his spirit and his love. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he told the disciples that one of you will betray me. And the disciples said, Lord, is it I? Because they recognized their frailty. They recognized their weakness. They knew that they could not do it. And that they had within them the weakness to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that each of them would scatter, that Judas would betray them, that Peter would also betray him and deny him, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Meaning that Jesus, knowing their weakness, didn't wait until the disciples got it in order to show love to them. He showed the love to them in the midst of their weakness. Jesus loved us before we ever knew. It is that love that we can count on today, tomorrow, and always. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you being in our presence and for this communion meal that we're about to take. Ask you, Lord, to bless the bread and juice that for us it truly is the body and blood of Jesus. And use us to partake in this. Use our body and our blood to share your love with those around us. Through generosity, through respect, and through sharing the gospel. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for today, for tomorrow, for always. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.